I want us to open our Bibles, if you will, please, to John chapter 14. I love the ministry of John in chapters number 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Those chapters have been entitled In the Shadow of the Cross. And he is dealing with no one but his followers. He goes into that upper room in chapter 13, then from there to the garden. And then also he gives that great intercessory prayer in chapter number 17, praying for not only those that were his then, but we that are his now. Somebody said, I wonder if anybody's praying for me. Well, Ben's the Word of God's inspired. The Lord Jesus is still praying that prayer. Isn't that wonderful? I want to read one verse. That's verse number 21 of John chapter 14. Notice the wording of the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Wow. Now, this verse would teach us that, and we know that John also said that God so loved the world. But that ain't that same particular love he's talking about here. He said the Father was going to love the one whom the Son loved, and the Son would love the one who kept his commandment. Yes, sir. And that's not legalism. That's Christianity.
Yes.
But he said here, he said, and he shall be loved of my Father. Now watch this. And I will love him. There's only one disciple that it said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now I want to preach tonight, God being my helper, on a scriptural design for a special disciple. And if you're interested tonight, I would ask that you would give ear. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for the great privilege that you've given us together here. Thank you for the good presence of the Holy Spirit. Not only the presence, but the manifestation to those who love you. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself. The Holy Ghost has come to magnify the Lord Jesus, and he's sure doing a good job tonight. And I pray now, Lord, that you would help us. My heart trembles at the responsibility as laid upon me as of now. And I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would work in every heart. And Lord, may every heart be opened by the Holy Ghost, that may that word may be received. There could be some folk in here tonight that would want to bring glory to your name. I believe there's some in here tonight that's not interested in being half-hearted or haphazard. I believe there's some folk in here tonight that their number one priority is to bring glory to your name. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight. Then I pray for those that are unsaved, that you might bring them unto the acknowledgement of yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness, for it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Now let me say on the outset, that the Lord had many, many disciples that were followers of him. There could be male disciples, and there were female disciples. Matter of fact, there were young and old. There were children disciples. And I want to say it were those that listened to him and tried to follow his sayings. Now I want to say tonight, I'm not talking about the apostles. There was no women apostles, but there were some that were disciples. Now I want to say to you, friend, but there are 12 men that is normally referred to as the Lord's 12 disciples. And for the exception of Judas, every one of them occupied a permanent place with the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that when the Lord calls you out and you submit to Him, I'm glad that you get in something that you can't ever get out of. You know what that is? Eternal salvation. I want to say, friend, that when you get saved for good. And there'll never be a time that you can be unsaved again. Just like the new being saved is called the new birth. You can never become unborn. I'm glad tonight that the life that God gave me when He birthed me will never ever end. Hallelujah. I'm saved forever. And I want to say that if you're saved tonight, you are saved forever. I've never met anybody in that wanted out. Hey, that was a really end. I'm glad for everlasting life that secures my hope tonight. I don't care what America does. I'm saved forever. Praise God for the privilege of being saved. So we see that there's a permanent place for all disciples. But then among the 12, there was three who occupied a prominent place. There's three disciples among the 12, Peter, James, and John. Now, they just wasn't in permanently, but it seems like that they were three that had a desire to walk closer with Him and to experience more of Him. So that tells me that in the discipleship class, which is all of us, there's different attitudes of desires, and there's different hearts that are in different areas about Him. I want to say there was three of these men that got to see more than all of the rest of them. You know, I'm glad I'm in permanently, but oh, I'd like to be one of them three, wouldn't you? That God would be able to reveal and help us seemingly greater than He does the others. I thought about there in Luke chapter number 8 and in verse number 51, Bible said, and when He came into the house, He suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John. This was at the house of Jairus, whose little daughter was in the bedroom dead. But I'm glad He left the others on the outside. I don't ever want to be left on the outside when there's something in the house going on. Amen. I don't want to be left out there wondering. I want to be in there witnessing. Amen. I'm telling you, and you know what they witnessed there? Jesus raised that girl from off of that deathbed, and they witnessed the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's power with God, but then there's resurrection power. Paul said that I may know Him. That's a man's been saved 35 years. Said that I may know Him. Yes, sir. Oh, and the power of his resurrection. Yes. You know what that is? That's third day living. Hallelujah. I don't have time to deal with that. I want to tell you, we're living on new ground. We're living where God has overcome death. He's done defeated all of the great enemies. They witnessed resurrection power. In the next chapter, Luke chapter 9, they head up to a mount. The Bible said in verse number 28 of Luke 9, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Yeah. Oh, my Lord, that's the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, they just left in the previous chapter the house of Jairus. But you see, that ain't all he wants to reveal to them. He just don't want them to know him in his resurrection power. But he takes these three to that mountain and is transfigured before them. You know what they see him? They see him in his reigning power. They see him in his ruling ability. They see him just the way he's going to be when he sits on Father David's throne. They saw him where everything had been put under him. Praise God. I'm telling you, friend, I want to see him and know that there's nothing impossible with him.
Yes, you're right.
Then, Bible says in Matthew 26, there's another place. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Bible said in chapter 26 and verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Oh boy. Now the other disciples are left outside the gate. Let me reiterate, I don't want to be left outside. When he's doing something, I want to be in there, don't you? You got to have a right heart and a right spirit. And I see that here, his sweat as he prayed became as great drops of blood coming down to the ground. And he's praying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. You know what they saw him? Listen, this could be the greatest. They saw him in his resolving power. In other words, where he resolved to do the will of God above everything else. There's a lot of people that know him in his resurrection power. They've seen him in his ruling power. But as far as resolving to his complete will, they've yet to do that. I want to be in the garden with him, don't you? Bowing to the will of the Heavenly Father. So now watch this. I see here they all had a permanent place. Three occupied a prominent place. But then there was one among the three. He occupied a personal place. You know, he had seen him in his ruling power. He had seen him in his resurrection power. He knew him in his resolving power. But oh, he wasn't interested in all of that hype anymore. He wasn't interested much in all of that. Now what he's interested in is getting somewhere with him by himself and laying his head over on his bosom. Oh, I want to tell you, when I first was saved and started into the ministry, that's been 31 years ago. Oh, I wanted that power, and I still do. And you got to have it. And I wanted to see the glory of God like it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we do still need to see it. But the older I get, Brother Dwayne, you know where I want to be. Oh, I tell you, it's good to see all of that. But I tell you where I've got more help. I'm telling you where he's revealed himself more to me is somewhere locked up with him. with my head down on his bosom. I'm telling you, friend, that is why John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Anybody interested? Now I'm interested in being in the room with Jairus' daughter. I love it. I'm interested in being on the mount when it's glory everywhere. I'm interested in submitting. Oh, but the older I get, the more I'm a-looking for that place where I can lay my head. When he's in the resurrection room, he's a-speaking and I'm a-hearing. When he's on the mount, he's a-speaking and I'm a-hearing. But when I'm in there by myself, he's a-speaking to nobody but me. Oh, are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you, we got a spiritual or a scriptural design for whoever wants to be a special disciple. Woo! Oh, Jesus said, they'll love my Father, my Father will love them, and I will love him. That gets real personal right there. I don't have time to deal with all that scripture. I'm just simply saying to you, friend, it's the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I want you to get this, and then I'll move right into the message. I'm enjoying the introduction pretty good here. But I'm saying, listen to me. I see here, John, of course, is the only one that records that. John is the only one that records that about himself. The disciple whom Jesus loved. John is the one that writes that. And I really believe there's been some commentators that's made the statement. They've said that John was exalting himself. Well, that's some folk that's just writing with nothing to say. That I don't believe that John was exalting himself. I don't think he was putting himself on a pedestal. Matter of fact, I believe John was the type of fella that when the Holy Ghost said, John, I want you to write right here, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John might have pulled his hand back with that quill. And he may have said, well now, Lord, I want to make sure I hear you right. Now, what was it you said? I want you to put right here, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John may have said, but Lord, I don't want nobody to get the wrong idea about me. And the Holy Ghost said, John, this ain't for you. This is for somebody else that's going to read these words, that there is a place that you can get and you can be a disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm telling you, friend, I'm glad there's a God in heaven, and everybody that's got a desire, he's got shoulders big enough to get us all on. Praise God. He's got a bosom big enough for us all to lean on. Now, what made John special? Why is he the disciple? Why not Simon Peter? Jesus loved Simon. Jesus loved Thomas. Jesus loved Nathaniel. Jesus loved James. Jesus loved Matthew. Jesus loves us all. He loves us with an everlasting love. But what was it that made John special? That's recorded in Holy Write. That disciple whom Jesus loved. Go with me please to John 13. I'm going to bump along through here. I always try to be done by 8:30, but I ain't going to make it. But that'll just give me 10 minutes. And I can't hardly do that. I mean, I'm getting old and wore out, but I ain't that far gone yet, really. But I want you to listen to me right here. Go with me to John 13. They're in that upper room. Jesus is telling them, one's going to deny him, one's going to betray him, and he's going away. That's the worst day they've ever experienced. That's the worst news they've ever gotten from the Lord. One of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to deny me. And I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come. Buddy, that'll knock the wind out of you. You're talking about storm clouds are rolling over in your soul. It's about to happen. These men, they've learned to love each other. Now one of them is going to be a black sheep. Now they've learned to trust one another, and another is going to deny him. And now their very leader is leaving out. No wonder he said in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. He knew their hearts were troubled. He just gave them troublesome news. But all of these other disciples are in a mess. I want you to get this right here. Notice, if you will, in verse number 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. There's the first time it's mentioned. What made him so special? Well, he started out with having a unique leaning ability. What do you mean when everybody else was wanting answers? All he's doing is leaning.
Yeah.
Boy, it will, won't it? Oh, when everybody else is a-wondering, he's just leaning.
Yeah.
And there's something about getting so close to him and leaning on his bosom that you every now and then get a whiff of that breath breathing down the nape of your neck. And you feel the heartbeat of eternity beating in your ear. Oh, he's a leaning. He's a leaning. You've got to get this right here. When the storms are raging, when you've got the worst news that you could ever get, can I say to you what's going to begin the makings of a special disciple? Is you got to learn to lean.
Yes.
And when you've learned to lean, live to lean.
Yes, sir.
That means you're leaning not to your own understanding, but all of your ways you're acknowledging Him, and He'll direct your path. Now watch this here. You know what leaning will get you? Leaning will get you answers in troubled times. I want to look at this. Matthew chapter 26, you know, Jesus is just asking the question. One of you, he's just told them, one of you is going to betray me. Matthew says in verse 22 of chapter 26, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Oh, Judas was such a hypocrite that they didn't have no idea which one of the 12 it was. And when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, all of them begin to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? But I want you to go back with me to John 13. Now don't run ahead of me, fellas. Oh, Jesus. In verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now watch it. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be, of whom he spake. Now watch this. All of them are saying, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And the Lord's not answering any of them. They can't none of them get an answer from him. But there's one laying on his bosom.
Yes, sir.
And Simon Peter said, John, John, we can't get an answer. We sure do need to know. John, why don't you ask him? So, in other words, John hadn't asked him yet. John's not asking. John hadn't asked him, Lord, is it I? Matter of fact, he knew it wasn't him. And we'll show you that in just a moment. But I want to say to you that when nobody else could get an answer, Simon Peter said, John, would you ask him? And verse 25 said, and he then laying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, watch it. He then laying on Jesus' breast. He never did even raise his head up. He just kept laying there. Everybody else's heart's in a mess. Everybody else is in a turmoil. They're getting ready to kill one another. You ask him, John. Jesus. And John said, Lord. He didn't say, is it I? He said, Lord, who is it? Look at the next words. Jesus answered. Praise God. Now here's what you got to get. Here's what I want you to see. If you'll learn to lean and learn to trust in Him, there'll be times when nobody else can get an ear. But if you'll learn to lean on Him, I'm telling you, friend, that you can get answers from Him when nobody else can. You can get a word from Him if you'll learn to lean. I'm telling you, that's wonderful. You know why some of us need to learn to lean on Him? We not only need answers for our own problems, but a lot of times there'll be somebody come and say, boy, I sure do need a word. Can you get a word to me from the Lord? If you're leaning on His bosom, it probably won't be long till you'll have something to tell Him. And it'll be what the Lord said to say. Could I say this to you? You got to walk closely. Leaning on Him denotes a walk. You got to lean on Him. You got to lean. You can't. You got to be close to Him. You can't lean from a distance. You can't lean on Him a long way off. Praise God, you got to get up close to Him. And then if you lean on Him, you'll get answers in troubled times. Not only that, learning to lean will give you assurance in testing times. And I've done mentioned it here. They all saying, Lord, is it I? Is it I? And John said, Lord, in our language, you know what he said, Lord, which one of them is it? Which one of them is it? He knew it wasn't him. See, it's really hard to deny Him. Leaning on Him. It's really hard to betray Him. Leaning on Him. It's really difficult to not have something, to not have assurance when you're leaning on Him. And what that's doing is removing all your ability from all of your strength and leaning on another. Anybody interested? Is there anyone interested in being a special disciple? Is everybody satisfied with just being outside the door and every time a little bad news comes, it tears us all to pieces? Or is anybody interested in getting close enough to Him that when those dark clouds roll in, all you hear is that heartbeat of eternity? I don't know what kind of day we're going to face before we get home. But I tell you what, I'd like to enter in that pearly city leaning on Him. Oh, the days are going to get dark. But I want to tell you, there ought to be some fellas in here and some ladies in here who want to get close enough to Him that you got something to tell this troubled world in these last days. What made Him special was He had a unique leaning ability. Go with me to John 19. John 19, here they are at the cross. Bible says that all forsook Him. Bible says in Mark 15 that some of the women stood afar off. But before the crucifixion, before the darkness fell, there was five that made their way down by the cross. I preach a message sometimes on Jesus, keep me near the cross. Yes, sir. John chapter 19, notice with me if you will please, in verse number 25, look at it. Now there stood by the cross, not a long ways off, of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. You know what made John special? He not only had a unique leaning ability, but he had an unusual laboring ability. What do you mean, preacher? John got the job of mama sitting. The one who leaned on his bosom got the job in a secluded place. Would you listen to me carefully? When you start through the book of Acts, mighty works of the Holy Ghost has been accomplished through men. You find John in chapter 2 in the upper room. Let me remind you, he's the greatest disciple. He's the one that's walked closer to the Lord than any of the others. John in Acts 2, he's in the upper room. Acts 3, he's identified with Peter as they go to the temple to pray and the lame man's healed. Acts 4, he's arrested for preaching. Acts 5, he's mentioned, only being referred to. And John, the greatest disciple, fades completely off of the scene. Anybody seen John lately? Boy, I'd sure love to hear him preach again. Hadn't seen him in a while. I wonder why he hadn't been to any of our fellowship meetings. I wonder why Brother John don't make the circuit like he used to did. Anybody heard of him? Well, I bumped into him down at the market the other day and asked him how he's doing. Oh, he said he's doing fine. Asked him what he was up to. He said, well, just spend his days taking care of the Lord's mother. You know why he's special? He could labor without applause. I dare say nobody ever went by and told him what a good job he was doing mama sitting. Normally, we can't get anybody to do anything if we can't get our lights exposed and our name exposed. And we don't applaud them. And I'm not against all of that. But I want to tell you, John's on his way to being a special disciple. And you know why he would? It's because he would do whatever it was the Lord asked him to do. Somebody said, preacher, I feel like I'm better qualified to do more than what I'm doing. I think you mentioned that a while ago, didn't you? Preacher, I think I've got more degrees than to be doing what I'm doing. Well, I want to tell you what. I don't think there was a greater man living than John the Beloved. The Lord's already in heaven. I think the greatest man living is John the Beloved. Oh, you don't hear about him over yonder. You know what he's doing? Silently taking care of the Lord's mother. Oh, I want you to get a hold of that. If you want to be a special disciple, try your best not to get too much of you in it. Oh, if you want to be what God wants you to be, get as much of you as you can out of it. And let him fill you with himself. and then do the job he wants you to do. It may be in a little old secluded area somewhere, but it's God that's keeping the record. I know some preachers that won't even preach unless they get a certain amount of money. That stuff irritates the stew out of me. And they won't preach unless there's basically a certain amount of folk that'll be promised to pack out their assemblies. I know this for a fact. They'll go into town and he'll have people to go into town before him. And he's not there to witness. He's there to fill up someplace somewhere. So that when the big lights is showed on him, they can show the thousands and the hundreds. I wonder who's getting the glory. I don't care how many moves is being made. I wonder who's getting the glory. Oh, give me a man with a heart. Oh, I know I'm dealing, I'm plowing deep right here, but I want to tell you, if God puts you somewhere that you've never known, just go ahead and do what God wants you to do. Go ahead and do it. I know there's a lot of folk. I know daughters today who cannot go to church because they're busy mama sitting. Don't get all upset about that, men. If John spent the biggest part of his prime of his life mama sitting, don't crucify them for not getting to come to church. The Lord's got ministries of mama sitters. I believe it too. God's got ministries all over the country that nobody know anything about, and it secludes them in an out-of-the-way place. But what I'm amazed is he chose the greatest preacher he had to do that. If I pastored him that day and I wanted to have a revival, I really believe I would have wanted to get John. Oh, Simon Peter would have had us. I could have got him, but he'd have had us all talking bad by the end of the week. And that ministry's still going big. I could have got Thomas. Thomas would have had us all doubting we was even saved by the end of the week. And that ministry's going real big too. I could have got Matthew. Matthew would have had to have a big offering. And I'd be pastoring a little old church and just couldn't get Matthew. I would want John. Brother John, yes. Brother John, I sure would like to get you come a few nights of meeting. Think you could? I don't think so, sir. Well, you're preoccupied. You got a full schedule. Yes, sir. Sir, do you not have any dates open? No, sir. God's really using you, isn't he, John? Yes, sir. But are you seeing much accomplished? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, what do you do? Where you been, John? Oh, I've been here at the house. Taking care of the Lord's mother. Well, John, why don't you make yourself available? Well, I did. I did. I was the only one that made my way over there on that dark hill. And I got my orders from an old rugged cross. And now... And now if I got to spend the rest of my days taking care of the Lord's mother, that's what I want to do, because that's what he gave me to do. Yes. I'm going to tell you, some of the people that we need to pray for the most is caretakers, caregivers. There's a lot of the saints of God around the country. Lord, I don't know how I got here, but there's a lot of the old saints of God around the country that's now all crippled up and can't hardly walk and can't hardly move. They every now and then get a prayer through to God. But oh, I want to tell you, he's got some good abled body that may have credentials that long. May have been through 8 years of Bible college. He may put it in your heart to give yourself to taking care. How many would be willing? How many of us would be willing? I'm preaching to me. I'd love for it to be said. Jesus would say, now right there's the disciple whom I love. Boy, I sense God. He had an unusual labor. You want to be special? You want to be what God wants you to be? Do what he gives you to do. Just don't sit around waiting on something great to come. Labor without applause. Life without adjustments. And I'll just mention this. From that hour, he took her into his own home. He didn't have to get anybody else to endorse what he was going to do. He didn't have to get all the committee brethren together and see if it'd be all right for him to do it. From that hour, he took her into his own home. Every day he's involved in the ministry of Mama Sitting. John, the beloved. I wonder if he's mad at God. I wonder if he ever got upset with the Lord. No. He surfaces again way over yonder on the Isle of Patmos. That's the next time we see him. On the Isle of Patmos, and guess where he's at on the Lord's Day? You know where he's at on the Lord's Day? He's in the Spirit. And I can promise you this, you can't be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day if you're mad at him because you're having to do what you're doing. Hey, I really believe if we'd get where God wanted us to get and do what God wanted us to do and realize we don't deserve anything, but he's given us a little place in the field, I believe when we come together at the house of God, the Spirit of God would really show us. Lord, have mercy. It's 15 to 8. Boy, I live in Central Time Zone. It really is. Now, go with me, please, to chapter 20. I hope the Holy Ghost will put that in your heart. I not only see what made him special was a unique leaning ability. I won't be able to finish this, but I do want to give you this. He had a unique leaning ability. He had an unusual laboring ability. Look in John 20, verse 1 and 2. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Here comes Mary to John and Simon Peter. They've taken him away. John and Simon Peter head toward the sepulchre. The Bible said that John did outrun Peter. What a message. John outran Peter. It could be that Peter's reluctantly kind of lagging behind. He knows what he's done. But he has yet to realize that Jesus said, tell My disciples and Peter. It could be John Swifter afoot. It could be that he's eat some of Jesus' mother's cat head biscuits. I don't know. He took her to his home that very hour at the cross. She's been there now for 3 days. I don't know why he outran Peter, but I want you to look at this. I saw this yesterday. I've never dealt with this, but I saw this yesterday as I was studying. So they both ran together in verse 4. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. Now watch it. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes and the napkin laying in a place by itself, not wrapped together with the other garments. Now here's what I saw. This is a very precious moment. This is when the tides turned. When they know that he's alive. You know who was the first one that realized Jesus was alive? John. Why? Because he's been laying his head over on his bosom. And now he's took up the work that the Lord's given him to do. It ain't no wonder that the Lord will reveal things to him he won't reveal to nobody else. Watch this. You know what Jesus, you know what John's learning to do? He's learning to stoop down before he rushes in. John got there first. He could have barged right on in. Simon Peter did. He just came through, bam, right on in. That's just who he was. But John gets up there. This is sacred ground. Oh, this is where they laid his precious Lord. And he's approaching it. He's running now, but when he gets there, he approaches it cautiously. And he stoops down and looks in. You know what's going to make you special? Is if you'll stoop down before you ever run in. This is holy ground. This is precious right here. This is wonderful. A lot of good preachers are just rushing in, grabbing something, and don't even know what they're preaching. But if you'll stoop down before you rush in and get down low before you go in, you'll get something while you're in there. look. Bible said, verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the other clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. I want you to get this. Simon Peter saw the exact same thing John saw. Both of them are disciples. Both of them are preachers. But Simon Peter is a little bullheaded. And he's got to get something to say in a hurry. So he rushes in and don't get nothing. But John stooped down. He let Simon go in there and rustle around. John, I believe when he come in, he still stooped. He comes in, the Bible said, and he saw, look at it, verse 9. Verse 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher. He saw and believed. Oh, hear me. Hear me. And I'm going to say a statement right here that I've been saying for the past couple of years. I've got quite a bit of feedback from it, but that's nothing new. We've got too many fellas pastoring and preaching and letting the internet and the computer do it.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
We got too many electronic preachers.
Yes, sir.
Preacher, don't you study other men? Oh, if I didn't, I wouldn't have nothing to say probably. Thank God for what other fellows has given us, but I don't want to be a fool of a dead man's bones.
Yeah, you're right.
The only way that we're going to get anything for ourselves is to stoop down before we go in. A lot of them's like Simon Peter, they're running in and leaving without anything. John stooped down, went in, left with a whole lot to say.
Yes, that's good preaching.
Now you ain't mad at me, are you?
No, sir.
Just in case some of you are, I carry a laptop. I've got over 22,000 volumes of books on it. I read, I study. But when I walk up here, I want to have stooped down. And I want to have approached cautiously so that laying in there, there'll be something for me to tell somebody
else.
Yes,
sir.
He stooped down, looked in. And then he sees truth that others miss. And I'm not going to deal with it. I'm out of time. I'm not even going to give the last 2 points. But I want you to listen to me. He stooped down. He went in. He saw that napkin. You know that. You know that story. He saw that napkin wrapped together in a place laying by itself. What? And he saw the linen clothes laying there. You know the Bible says in John 19 that they took Jesus down from the cross, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, and they took Jesus with 100 pounds of spikenard, 100-pound weight of ointment, mixture of myrrh and aloe. This wasn't a little bottle that they anointed him with. It was more than 3 5-gallon buckets full, over 100-pound weight. They wrapped him in linen clothes with the mixture, with the ointment. They'd wrap him in linen clothes, put the ointment on him, wrap him, put the ointment on him, wrap him, put the, and they used 100 pounds of it. What is that, preacher? Anybody ever had a broken limb, arm, leg? They wrap it with linen. You know what that mixture is that they put on? Myrrh and aloe. And them linen clothes in there, the best that I can understand right here, them linen clothes laying in there was a hard cast. Set up just as hard as this desk. And the napkin was folded. Folded together, laying in a place by itself. I wonder who folded that napkin. You know what John saw? First he saw that nobody had burst that cast and got him out of there. Jesus had supernaturally come out of there. Just like he came through them shut doors in John 19. But then that napkin laying there proved. See, if you went to somebody's house in that day, they gave you a plate, spoon, fork, whatever, and gave you a napkin. That napkin was used to keep the food wiped off your face, but it was also for another purpose. In other words, if you were at the table and you were called away, you had to leave, and you were not returning, you was not going to come back to the table, you would take your napkin, you'd wad it up, throw it right in the middle of your plate, and that would signify to the waiters, you can come clean my place out and leave it for another. But if you were not finished, now I know he's done in the tomb, but his work ain't done. And if you were not, and you were coming back, and you were not gone, and you were still around, you would take that napkin, you would fold it up neatly, And we'd lay it in a place by itself, not with the rest of the stuff. And that signifying to the waiters, don't mess with nothing. I hadn't gone anywhere yet. I will be back. Can I tell you, like we sung a while ago, it won't be long. I see folded napkins laying around everywhere. I'm telling you, friend, he's a coming. He will be back. He will be back. Man, I wished I had the strength to finish this. No. I'm totally exhausted. Hey, I do need to give you just a thought, though. Is anybody aggravated right here? If you are, just don't tell me, please. I'm enjoying this. Go with me to John 21. I've got to give you this. I've got to give you. If you'll just give me 5 minutes, I'm done. Watch this. I'm going to skip one. It's where, there in John 21, where the disciple whom Jesus loved says, Simon Peter, that's the Lord. He had an unusual listening ability. At that tomb, he had an understandable learning ability. Here, I want to deal with the fact that he has an unretaliating living ability. I want you to get this. Look at this. Verse 20, John 21. Jesus has just told Simon Peter what he wanted him to do. He dealt with him about his love for him. And now, he just told Simon Peter in the end of verse 19, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Oh, boy. Jesus said, Simon, I want you to follow me. Simon Peter pointed at John. I said, well, Lord, what's he going to be doing? Well, if Simon had been over by the old rugged cross, he would have known what John was going to be doing. A lot of times you don't understand another man's ministry and you're all time wondering why, because you hadn't been close enough to the cross to hear. What's this man going to do? Jesus saith unto him, verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Follow thou me. You know what Jesus said to Simon Peter in our language? Simon, it ain't none of your business. It's none of your business what John's going to be doing. I've told you to follow me. Don't worry about John. But you know, I want you, here's what the Holy Ghost pointed out to me in this text. John never says a word. Somebody pointing their finger at him, wondering about what he is and what he's going to do. But you see, John's that special disciple. And he did not have to defend himself. Guess who defended him? John, you remember what you said a while ago, if we can just keep our mouths, guess who's going to open his? John never said a word. Jesus took John's defense. As long as we're trying to prove to everybody and tell everybody it ain't so, he'll let you keep on saying it. But if you'll just leave it alone, then he'll let everybody else know it ain't so. If you'll just stay out of it, if it's not so. And here's something else, and I'm done. Verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Wow. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Here's what I want you to see. Concerning your situation And what everybody's saying about you because you've tried to do right. There's no need in you trying to straighten it out. If the Lord even come back and told them the truth, they still wouldn't get it. Jesus said, Simon Peter, it's nothing to you. If I will that he tarry till I come back, what's that to thee? Then everybody said, John ain't going to die. John ain't going to die. What about that? Old John ain't going to die. You see, the crowd that don't want to hear it wouldn't hear it if Jesus came and told it himself. You just as well as to leave it alone. If you want to be a special disciple, let the Lord take your defense. Let the Lord work it out. He can fix it. He had an unretaliating living ability. Son, I'm telling you, God is in this place tonight. Oh, and here's my plea to you. Here's my plea. Come on up here, preacher, so I'll shut up. Come up here. Here's my plea to you. Is there a young man? Is there a dad? Is there a teenage girl, a young mama? Is there a grandpa or grandma? Is there anybody interested in the Lord saying about you, that's the disciple whom I love? Somebody said it can't be. We just looked at the scriptural design for a special disciple. You got to first start leaning on him, and then it goes from there. Ooh. I'm telling you, this world needs to see another disciple. This community needs to see Hendersonville, Rutherfordton. These places need to see another disciple whom Jesus loves.